testimonies of great things that God is doing. Beth, come up here. If there, anybody else has a testimony and you want to share it, something great that God's done for you on this 21-day fast, that's great. But Beth had an awesome thing that happened yesterday, was it?
Yes, yesterday.
So go ahead and share that with us.
Okay, so I'd already been up here before, and you all know that Tim and I recently started tithing a few months ago, have never wavered from that since. We are working on getting a house, and our goal has been to be in a house before the new school year. We've been married 10 years, and we've rented forever, never owned my own home. So we already had a plan. We'd met with people that gave us a plan, and we've got bills that we're paying down. And we have one credit card, I'll make this as least complicated as possible, that has about $6,500 on it. We've got to get it down to $3,000. It's going to take time for us to do that. Well, we finally got online access to be able to view the statements, pay online, et cetera. And when my husband got that, it's a card he has with his dad, we found out that they've been charging us for unemployment insurance on the card, and they've been charging it since 2007. So we called Sears to ask what was happening, and they said, oh, your dad put it on, you know, back in 2007. He conferences his dad into the call. His dad says, no, I didn't. He was already retired at that point. Unemployment insurance would have done nothing. So we disputed the charge with Sears. This was 2 weeks ago. They gave us 30 days. They said, wait 30 days for your response. Yesterday morning, Tim logged into the account, and we had a $2,800 credit. And the most amazing thing about all of this is that we thought we'd be waiting until the school year if we were lucky to get a house, and we'll be able to start looking next month.
Amen. Amen.
So, yay, God gets all that glory. It's incredible.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I'm telling you, if you've never fasted before, some people have asked me, and they said, you're crazy. Y'all are a bunch of fanatical Christians. But, you know, fasting is biblical. They fasted in the Bible when they needed a breakthrough. They fasted in the Bible when there was a crisis. They fasted in the Bible to draw close to God. And there was times that God called them to a corporate fast, or a leader called them to a corporate fast. And we fast every year at the beginning of the year as a way to humble ourselves, as a way to start our year off so that we get going on the right track. And the fasting will follow you on in to your year. I had a breakthrough, a financial breakthrough, the third day of this fast. A bill that we didn't know how we were going to pay down, and had $600 unexpected dollars come in to help pay that bill. And it's just those types of things that happen. Matt had a financial breakthrough. There's other things that have happened for people, not just financial. But God honors His people when they fast, when they pray, and when they draw close to Him. There have been many times in my life when I've been in crisis and didn't have an answer, and so I would fast, maybe a day, maybe 3 days, just to hear God's voice clear. It's a great way to shut out the world, shut your body off. You know, a lot of times we're distracted by what we eat, and we're focused more on food. And so it's a great way to shut all that off and focus on God. I can't tell you how many times I'm like you, and you've probably experienced it too. You've eaten pizza and soda or something the night before you go to bed, and the next morning you wake up and you kind of have that hangover feeling. You're not drunk, but you're drunk on on the sugar and the starchy foods that you ate. And so fasting is a great way to set all that aside for a while. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to eat the king's choice foods. And he fasted on vegetables for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, remember, Daniel looked better, sharper mentally than all the other guys that had been eating all the rich, fatty foods that the king had at his table. And so fasting is biblical. It does great things for you. And I'm thankful that this year's fast is over. Hallelujah. Amen. No, I'm teasing. Amen. Well, last week we started a series on baggage. Anybody got some baggage? I think we all, if we're honest, have baggage, right? Baggage that we've picked up through our life. Baggage from experiences that have happened. Baggage from different things. And we started off last week with Hebrews 12:1, It says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So God is calling us to continue to persevere in running the race. The Christian life is a race. Amen. Forgot to mention this. We've started a Run for God class. We're doing it on Sunday mornings. It's talking about our physical walk as well as our spiritual walk. And so at the end of the class, at the end of the 12 weeks, we're going to run a 5K. And anybody that wants to run it with us, maybe you exercise on your own, maybe you run on your own, you're welcome to come out and run the race with us. We're doing it with Total Fitness Connection. They're having a citywide 5K at the end of March. But we've been talking about running for God. We're running for God. And the Bible says to throw off all the baggage. Throw off everything that hinders. And last week we looked at several places that baggage can come from. Maybe it was family. Maybe it was spiritual leaders that hurt us, or the church that hurt us, or other relationships. Maybe it was things that our parents said to us when we were kids, or maybe it was kids picking on us on the playground. Maybe it was somebody you trusted that stabbed you in the back and you are having a hard time trusting anybody anymore. Whatever it is, we pick up baggage. And God wants us to lay it down. And last week we had a fantastic time around the altar as people came forward and said, God, I'm laying my bags down. And this morning we're going to continue in that, and we're going to talk about the baggage of guilt. And a lot of times people get to an altar and they pray and they ask God to forgive them and they repent, but then they still struggle with the guilt. It weighs them down. It's a baggage that they hang on to, that guilt, and they're really not free. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what does forgiveness really mean, and how can I be free from the baggage of guilt? Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all you who are tired. This is in the God's Word version. Come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Anybody tired of carrying a heavy load? Come on, come to Jesus. He's going to give you rest. Psalm 38, 4 says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I don't go to the gym very often, y'all can tell. I'm starting. Praise God. No, I'm not giving up. But, you know, some people are really good at carrying weights. You see them in the gym, the bodybuilders, they get stronger. They're in the weight room. This week, my Alabama Crimson Tide signed this boy from Maryland who's going to be a new defensive tackle. Now he's just turning 18 years old, 6'4", 310 pounds. 18 years old, my goodness, I couldn't believe and they showed the picture of him, and you've seen guys like this, they've worked out, their head and their neck is just one thing, just, you know, it's all, there's no definition, and you know, you see these guys in the gym, and they're working out, and they're doing all this, and they're trying to, I want that little tiny muscle over here to, you know, bulge out, and you want to look at him and say, dude, you've done it, you've achieved success, you can go home, make room for the rest of us, all right? The rest of us stand there and, you know, we pick up the weight just when somebody's walking by just to make sure that they think we're, you know. And then you get guilty because you're not as big as they are, right? Now, speaking of guilt, I remember when I was a little boy, and all parents, I think, do this sometimes, but my dad would say things like, you know, when it would mess up or make a mistake, I guess I'm not a good dad. You know, I guess I hadn't raised you proper. Y'all ever say that to your kids? I've taught you better than that, right? You heard about the little boy that he got in trouble with his dad, and his dad said, go to your room, and I'll be in there in a few minutes. I'm going to give you a spanking. And so the little boy decided that he didn't want another whipping because his dad could really. Yeah. You know, there's a difference between getting a whipping and getting a whooping. Anybody ever had a whooping? Now, I've had a few whoopings in my day. I don't know about you. That's a Southern thing. You know, it's kind of like naked and naked. You know, anyway. Getting a whooping. And so the little boy said, I'm going to get a, he knew he was going to get a whooping. And so he went to his room and he pulled out a book. And y'all have seen that, you've seen kids do that. And he shoved the book down in his pants. And the only problem was is that when his dad went to spank him, it was a talking book. And it said, the cow says. It's a good idea, but it didn't work. You know, the baggage that we carry can be like a ball and chain. It weighs us down. It keeps us from moving forward and running the race. It's like a prison. You know, prisoners have to pay a debt to society. That's why they are there. But us can ever repay our debt to God. None of us can ever repay the debt we owe God. But there are people who are living just like those people in jail in a self-imposed prison because you think you're paying a debt to God. And they're doing it under the auspices of guilt because they're guilty. They feel guilty for what they've done. They feel guilty for the bad things that they've done. And so they're living under that guilt and they're trying to pay a debt that they can never pay. And they're carrying around that baggage. And since the fall of man, guilt has moved into our lives. God's original intent for Adam and Eve was that they would enjoy walking with God. They would enjoy a relationship with God. They had no guilt or shame. Genesis 2:25 says the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. They went from being childlike before guilt to childish after guilt. Imagine the opportunity of being able to walk around, no skeletons in your closet, no regrets, no past, no hideouts, no cover-up, no need to be fake, no need to put on a mask, no need to act pretentious, no guilt, no paranoia. There's freedom in life without shame. And they had it made. Adam was the most handsome man that ever lived. Eve was the most beautiful woman that ever lived. Listen, Adam never had to listen to his wife say anything like, I'm going to leave you if you don't do that. He never heard his wife say, where are you going right now? Right? There was no in-laws. Hey, that works both ways. Works both ways. No clothes. Woohoo! Should have been a great world, right? God's original intent for them was to be free. God loves freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Freedom was God's original intent. In the garden, Satan showed up. The devil hates innocence, and he hates the absence of guilt. Parents, that's why we've got to protect our children. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful. We can't take back our innocence. And the devil wants nothing more than to cause shame and guilt to come into our lives. The Bible says that for the joy set before him, Jesus went to the cross. The devil takes joy in pulling you away from the cross with shame and guilt. He loves it when we live without confidence in our faith or confidence in God. He loves to see you have a downcast spirit, the weight of sin, the baggage of condemnation. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So he tries to keep you from being in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you in Christ. He wants you separate from Christ. The Bible says to forget not all of his benefits. Satan loves it when you forget his benefits. By the way, so does the insurance company. Just saying. The curse killed because of guilt. Sin separates. The only good thing that came from the curse was we got clothes. Come on, be honest. None of us would go to church if there weren't clothes, right? Okay, I just, there would be only small churches, no big churches, right? Anyway, okay, we'll move on. But God told them not to touch, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did, and then they had to run and hide. And that's what guilt does. It causes people to run and hide. It's, in the Bible, it's the cycle of sin and death. Everybody say bye to Miss Evelyn as she leaves. Glad you're feeling better. Gonna take her home, so keep praying for Miss Evelyn. There's a cycle of sin and death in the Bible. Eve went to the tree. And y'all know the story. You remember the passage. The Bible says that she saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eye and good for food. She saw. And then it says she took and ate. She gave some to her husband and he ate. And then they both went and hid. That's what sin will do to you every time. You'll look at it. You think about it. Boy, that looks good. Boy, that seems good. And we indulge, and then it causes shame and guilt, and we go and hide. You see the cycle again in the story of Achan in the book of Joshua. Achan, they had gone in to destroy the city of Ai after they went and knocked the walls of Jericho down with their shouts, like we shouted this morning. And God said, burn everything in the city, and all the gold and all the silver and all the loot and all of that, burn it all. I don't want any of it. Get rid of it all. And what did Achan do? Achan found some gold and he found some silver and he found some good looking stuff. And the Bible says he saw it and he wanted it. He took it to his tent, dug a hole and buried it. He went and hid it. And then he was trying to hide what he was doing. And y'all remember God called him out, and him and his whole family were destroyed because of his sin. See, it's the cycle of sin and death. We see, we indulge, and it leads to death. Now, Achan and his family died right there on the spot. Eve and Adam brought sin and death into the whole world. Without Jesus, we probably should hide. But with Jesus, we don't have to hide. When you sin, don't run from God. Run to God. They had all the traits of guilt after the fall. Blaming others. Remember, they blamed each other. They blamed the serpent. They were hiding, fear of being around God. And then there was the regret that had set in. And we all have baggage of regret, baggage of fear, baggage of shame, baggage of blaming others. Baggage, 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 baggage. You've got baggage. I've got baggage. It's time to unload our baggage, but especially the baggage of guilt. Jesus paid a huge price for you to be with Him, for you to be close to Him. And He wants to walk with you in the cool of the day. He wants to have that relationship restored. But guilt and shame will keep you from Him. Lay aside every weight that entangles you. We don't have agility to run the race when we're weighed down with guilt. We stumble and we fall. There's a reason that a golfer puts down his bag before he hits the ball. The weight's unnecessary. You can't hit the ball with the weight. Well, seriously, how many of us don't live in proximity to God, to His purpose, or walk in confidence with Him because of guilt? And you know, sometimes I blame preachers the most. Because instead of teaching people who they are in Christ and that once they've been forgiven, they can walk free, they can live free, they can walk without shame, they can't do it by themselves, they can only do it by the Spirit of God. Instead of teaching that, all we've ever preached is shame and guilt and condemnation for what you've done. Amen. Don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run around with girls that do. Oh, glory to God. And I grew up in a church where all they ever preached was get saved all over again. You need to come to Jesus and get saved. Just as I am without one plea. It's a great song, but after the 1,000th verse and nobody's come forward, let's close the service. Finally, somebody will get up and come forward just so they stop singing the stupid song. Who gets saved 100 times? The same people go to the altar Sunday after Sunday after Sunday because they're under guilt and shame and condemnation and they don't know how to be free. They're already saved. Jesus already did it all. But they come forward under guilt. They come forward under condemnation. The Bible says that without Christ, we stand condemned already. And then it says that Christians shouldn't. We should never intentionally serve guilt. I used to work with a man that had left the church and he hated Christians. Before I knew that he hated church and Christians, he told me the church that he'd grown up in. And he told me about a recent mistake that he'd made. And I told him that he should go back to church. And then he said this. I've never forgotten it. He said, why should I go to a place that makes me feel worse than I already do? Nobody wants to sit under that. Is there a place to preach sin? Absolutely. But we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. And we need to be free, and we need to understand that once we're forgiven and once we've been set free, we can now walk in the freedom that Jesus died for. And we don't have to live under the condemnation and under the guilt and under the shame. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on, we all, there's all kinds of things that can contribute to the weight of guilt. There's painful regret. Paul regretted all the Christians that he had killed. When they stoned Stephen, the last verse of Acts chapter 7, that's what I thought it was, verse 58. It says they laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later would become Paul. Regret. And then we think we can never put the guilt down. We live under that weight and that condemnation. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been metamorphosized. You've become something new. Just like the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. That's the word in the Greek, metamorpheo. You've grown. You've expanded. You've birthed into something new because of the salvation of Jesus. And we think we can never put it down. The facts say you did something bad. Shame says you are bad. The facts are I failed. Shame says I'm a failure. The facts say I lied. Shame wants to tell you you're a liar. But that's not what God says. God says you're free. You're a new creation. You're a new creature. And you have to believe it and get it in your spirit and say, this is who I am. Shut up, devil. Download that app on your phone. Shut up, devil. I love it. Number three, when you don't allow God to forgive you and cover your sins. Say, but I'm already forgiven. God's already forgiven me and covered my sins. Yeah, but a lot of you are walking around and you haven't really let it sink in. And you're still walking around thinking, I owe a debt to God. I owe God. I owe this to Him. You can never pay him back. You don't have enough goodness, enough money, enough anything to ever pay him back. He did it because he loves you. Every mother in this room knows what it's like. You do things for your children because you love them. You don't cook a meal for your kids and say, now go clean your room, you stinking little brat. I cooked supper for you. What mother does that? Now, mothers say, go clean your room, you stinking little brat. They will go say, clean your room. But they don't cook supper, or they don't wash your clothes, or they don't iron your clothes, or they don't vacuum the floor. They don't, whatever they do, they don't run you around. You know what I mean? They do it because they love you. You can't pay God back. Get it out of your mind. He gave it all for you. All you've got to do is receive and believe. And then walk in the new faith and the new confidence of who He has made you to be. God just wants you. And you can't worship well. You can't have a good prayer life. You can't have a great life until you get rid of the guilt and allow God's forgiveness to sink in. You don't believe the lie that says you are what you did, that you could never change. Well, you're just going to do it all over again. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, he will get back up. Amen. Get back up. Ken made a great analogy in class this morning. If you were walking in the natural down the street and you tripped and fell, you might be hurt, but you ain't just going to lay there the rest of your life in the middle of the street and you're going to get up. In your spiritual walk, get up. Keep moving forward. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is just move forward. And God will bless it. Give it to Him. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly. Shout at my weaknesses. About my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Come on, salvation's not a goal to be achieved. It's a gift to be received. If it was a gift, it could be earned by your works. And if it was works, then it couldn't be grace. Romans 11:6 talks about that. Here's the problem. Many of us don't comprehend that it's really a gift because we think we owe Him something. Listen, I don't care what you tell me. I'm never going to believe, and I know that it's biblically true, you can't earn your salvation. You need to throw off the guilt. If I don't go to church, I don't pray an hour a day. God's not sitting up there with a big stick marking it all off. We do those things because just like the mama does the things for her kids because she loved them and doesn't expect anything in return, now out of love for God, I give back to Him what He desires. I give back to Him worship. I give back to Him time and prayer. See, we've made prayer this mechanical thing where I got to read a certain amount of scripture and I got to say certain kinds of words and I got to... All God wants you to do is talk to Him. He wants a relationship. He wants you to talk to Him like you would talk to the person sitting across the table from you. Come on, you got to settle in your heart. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37-39 says, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, right before Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Anytime you see a therefore, all you English majors know this. Anytime you see a therefore, the therefore is in reference to what Paul just said, or what the writer just said. In this case, Paul, right in the book of Romans. And Paul goes on in Romans 7, just before Romans 8:1, and he talks about those things that I want to do, I don't do. And those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. Talking about sin. Talking about the war of the flesh and the spirit. Anybody ever been there? The things I really want to do that I know are godly things that I should be doing, I can't find the strength to do them. And the things that I don't want to do, God help me, the things I don't want to do, Paul says, those are the things I find myself doing. We've all lived there. We've all experienced it. And then the last verse, or last two verses, Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Anybody ever looked at the guilt and the shame and you think, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? Come on, God, I need a Savior. I need somebody to rescue me. And he says in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, why? Why is there now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because he's going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you from the body of sin and death. Hallelujah. There's no condemnation now. Condemnation's not from God. Condemnation doesn't come from anybody but the devil. Guilt and shame and condemnation. It's time to put the bags down. Because when you put the bags down, three things real quick. It changes how you relate to people. When you lay the bags down, it changes how you relate to people. It gives you confidence in your walk with him. Because you know God has your back. You know God's fighting on your side. You know God is with you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You got the armor of God and you can walk steadfast in who you are to take on the challenges of the day. And it changes how you relate to people. Philippians 2 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. It changes how you relate to people when you lay down the baggage of guilt. Guilt will put up walls. Guilt will keep you closed off. Guilt will cut off the trust. I can't go to church. I can't get too deep. I can't get back in it because I'll be hurt again. You got to let it all go. You're not as judgmental when you lay down guilt. People enjoy being around the grace that is in your life. People are attracted to freedom. Number two, it changes how you relate to God. God, it changes how we relate to God. We now know that God is for us and not against us. And every day I don't have to go to prayer for 30 minutes and, oh, God, I'm so sorry. No, we know that God has forgiven us. We know that God has washed us. Do I need to repent of sins? Yes, but we go to God in confidence. The Bible says we can boldly approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? Because the blood of Jesus covers our sin. It's done. It's done. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning the shame. God's not angry and disappointed at you. He's not an angry, irritable parent. And instead of letting Christ forgive and wash and remove the shame, we carry around a load of guilt. Time to change how we relate to God. Lay the baggage of guilt down. Last thing, we're going to close. It changes how you're used by God. Many people aren't being used by God to do anything because they're constantly worried about, I'm not good enough. I've got too many hang-ups. I've got too many habits. I've got too many whatever. And guilt keeps us in that place where we're never able to be used by God. Psalm 18:35 says, you give me your shield of victory and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. Come on, the Bible says he lifted us out of the mire. He lifted us out of the miry clay and he set our feet on the rock that is called Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He stooped down and he's making you great. But you've got to know who you are. You got to let go of guilt. You got to let go of condemnation. We're not stuck in that clay and that mire of slavery any longer. And so there's only one thing that you can do this morning. There's only one thing you can do. Give all your guilt. Give all of it to God. Give all of it to God. And as I'm talking right now, I know that there are people, you're still carrying baggage of guilt from your past. Maybe it's baggage of a failed marriage. Maybe it was baggage of an affair. Maybe it was baggage of things that you did before you were saved, and you're still carrying that. You're still walking around under that. You're carrying the baggage of all these years, and you're weighed down under it. Give it to God. Lay it at the cross. Get up and walk free. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and you didn't cover up. I'm sorry, I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. In other words, he laid it all out. He was totally honest. Talked about that last week. First key to being free is admit it all. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's it. That's the key. You've got to give it all to God. Why don't everybody bow your heads? Some music starts to play real slowly. I feel like there's people here today, you're still carrying guilt. You're still carrying, maybe it's baggage in other areas. Maybe it's not just guilt. But that thing is still harassing you. That thing is still following you. That thing is still holding you back. And if you want prayer this morning, I just want you to get up out of your seat. And I want you to come up here and just find a place. If you want to kneel down, if you want somebody to agree in prayer with you, they will.
Okay. There's a calm that covers me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I kneel down at your feet, it's a place for ndashimye imana kubw'igitangaza gikoretse mwaka kanyu ndashimye imana ku byo tubonye nunaha imana ikoze igitangaza kuko aya majambo yose twumvise shitani atagombaga yuko tuyumva
Just thank God because Satan he did something for the grandma and the God just gave her up
igihe bibi yararembye cyane
time the old woman was laying down there
ni nkomezi z'umwiza za shetani za zije kuturwanya
Satan just wanna try us to see what's going on
ariko tubwira Yesu wacu
but we talk to Jesus and we tell God that we need your help Jesus
ijambo ryawe tugomba kumva
because we need to hear your voice but God just did something And Jesus, stand up. The person Satan was about to kill, she did not die. She just stand up. Just lift your hands Hallelujah. Up and thank God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we praise God for what he did for Evelyn this morning. Amen. If there's people here, you're struggling with under the weight of guilt. You're struggling with carrying around that baggage. I just want to invite you to come this morning and be set free. Come on this morning, lay it down at the altar. And let go of the past. Let go of the guilt. Ask God to touch you this morning. Anybody else, you can come. Let's all stand up. I feel like there's still other people that need to come. I'm not gonna labor. Come on, God wants to set us free this morning. Anybody else before we end the service, you feel like you need to come for prayer this morning? Maybe it's about guilt. Maybe it's about something else. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else who can come this morning? Come on, this is the place God wants us to be. This is the place of freedom. That's right. Just sing it out. on just free to worship, free to live for Him. Oh, we thank You for freedom this morning, Jesus. We thank You, God. Lord, we thank You. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I'm gonna shout for joy. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Lord, set a people free this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we end the service? Jesus. Lord, set people free this morning. Set people free this morning, God. Oh, give us Your freedom, Lord. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. That's right, just sing it out. Free, you can worship better. When you're free, you can live for Jesus. You're free to walk in your purpose, free to walk in your destiny. That's why we named this church Destiny Church, because we want people free to live and walk in their purpose, walk in all that God is doing for them. Jesus, we thank You, God. We thank You, God. The baggage is gone. The guilt is gone. We can lift our hands, Lord. We can shout out Your name. Lord, let the walls come down. We thank You for freedom. Come on, sing this out.
Like I am unashamed, I'm gonna shout for joy.
Praise this morning. Lord, we give You glory. We give You honor. We thank You this morning for freedom, God. We thank You for setting people free. God, that we can walk in Your freedom. It was for freedom that You died to set us free. Lord Jesus, teach us how to walk in that purpose. Teach us how to walk in that grace. Teach us how to walk every day with You, Lord. We thank You for it. We glorify and honor Your name today. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. We're so glad you're here this morning. And praise God, even with all the distractions, all the things the devil tried to do, we thank God that His purposes are done and people were set free, babies were dedicated. Lord, we just thank You. Praise Him for all that He's doing. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. If you could help us by tearing.